Welcome, everyone, to the last live, quote-unquote, episode of the Here's Johnny podcast.
For a while.
My wife.
For a while.
For a while. For about a month. Yeah. My wife is, her due date is Monday, the day you're listening to this, actually. So I might be a dad by the time you hear this.
That's fucking wild.
It is absolutely nuts. I already have her car seat in the truck. I have her bag in the truck. I had Devin's bag in the truck. I'm not bringing a bag, but from my backpack.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
I hate to tell you, but, well, you already know, in this whole circumstance, you're the least important person.
I know, and yeah. I have, like, nothing I can do except for cheerlead, and I'm a doer, as you know. Like, I'm someone who likes to do things, like, help people out, and I can just sit here on my hands.
Yeah, hopefully, for your sake, they have, like, one of those in the delivery room. They have, like, one of those recliner, nice, super comfy recliner chairs, so you can just, like, try to chill.
So because I work at Ohio State,
yeah,
it's going to be at like their main hospital, so it's like really nice.
Okay,
so
good.
I'm very grateful for that. But yeah, we're double recording tonight. We'll get into what the next episode is. Well, for you guys in about a month, mm-hmm. but for us in a little bit. I'm up first. I really don't have a lot, man. Next Level Chef, continuing on watching that. Tournament of Champions 5 is over. Spoilers, but my girl Manit won her second championship. I love it. It's like the best chefs on the network, and then also like chefs can like play into it, and there's like a bracket format.
Okay.
And the judges are blinded from who's who.
Like, oh,
they
yeah,
have, like,
yeah.
Professional
okay.
food critics, and like because it's a Guy Fieri thing, they have like the Wheel of Pain or whatever, the randomizer. So it's like they don't know what they're cooking until right beforehand. And like for myself, I just like watching them do it, but it was great. I love it, and Manit's just amazing. And then a little more further in Mashal, that anime I'm watching, the Harry Potter, making fun of Harry Potter.
Oh, right,
the
right,
guy
right,
who
right.
is obsessed with cream puffs and doesn't have magical powers, but he's in a magic school. The only movie I watched is Terminal Man. We'll get to it. I barely touched Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I'm in Chapter 12, and like a bunch of new side quests came in, so I'm just doing those. I realized what the bane of my 100% trophy run is going to be, though.
What is that?
Johnny's items.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like all the mini games, and you have to like get like the highest score in all the mini games.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
So that'll be a thing. And then I barely play Pokemon Silver. I think I just finished up the Rocket plotline, so I have the 8th badge, and then the League, and then I have to go to Kanto. Books, still slowly listening to Game of Thrones 1. I finished Empire of the Damned this week. It's a sequel to Empire of the Vampire. I was telling the P, those two books might be my favorite books of all time.
Interesting.
It's just, it's funny, and it's brutal, and it's, like, scary, and I recommend it to anybody. Like, honest to God, like, even if you don't like vampires, if you like high, it's like high fantasy meets horror meets like the vampires. It's just, I love them.
It's Empire of the Damned is the first one?
Second one. The first one is Empire of the Vampire.
Empire of the Vampire. You know what? I will add it to my library because I have four
Justin,
credits.
It's so good. There goes Devin. There she is, 9 months pregnant. I did before we recorded. I'm not doing that during the recording, though. he laughed at me, too. And then the other book I'm reading, I just started it. It's the next book club book. It's called In the Dream House. It's a memoir from Carmen Maria Machado. I'm 10 pages into it. Other stuff, I got to watch Rachel play Five Nights at Freddy's for the first time last Friday. I jumped watching her play it because that game is just... It is the perfection of jump scare.
So, oh man, I'm actually very upset that I didn't get to witness it.
She recorded it. It's unlisted on YouTube. So if you ask her, she'll share it with you.
I know she only played it for like 46 minutes.
Oh, 40.
Because I could see the length of the video like through the casting link she gave me. But okay. Yeah.
Cody Rhodes won the WWE Undisputed World Championship. So Roman Reigns' reign is going on no more. And the last thing, yesterday I was super busy. I just had a lot of stuff that came up. But I saw on Twitter that Jason Blum and Blumhouse, for some reason, have decided to reboot or remake the Blair Witch Project. And Ben Rock, who's been on our show several times now, he put out this really thoughtful tweet thread about why he feels the, like, similar to what he's talked about on our podcast, right? But why the movies just haven't been able to do what the original did. About how, like, they're not talking to him, they're not talking to Manello, they're not talking to Sanchez, like, they're not talking to any of the original people. And I just, like, quote tweeted it, and I was like, if you want this to be successful, as someone who, as I've said so many times, Blair Witch is my favorite horror film. It just is. Like, stop fucking around. Like, there was magic there. Tap into the people who made the magic, or you're not going to get it. It's going to feel hollow. And why the fuck would you remake one of the greatest movies ever? I'm just so tired of it, dude.
I did see a really funny post about it, like, right after. Actually, I saw it today. Somebody was just like, man, Blumhouse has really just turned into, like, the fast food of horror, hasn't it?
It is. Yeah. It has. Yeah. It really has. And it's like, I liked Halloween 2018.
Yeah.
I haven't gone back and watched Kills or End since we saw it.
Because you don't need to.
I don't need to. And it's just like, I have watched Blair Witch so many times, and I'm so excited to introduce my daughter to it when she's old enough. I think I was in kindergarten when I saw it, so around that time for her too. And then we'll go camping. It's just, there is something there. Like, Ben Rock did it with his, like, special, the Burkittsville 8, right? Like, there's other things to tap into.
It's just, the Blair Witch Games did it. Like, come on.
The Blair Witch Games did. Well, we only have Rustin Parr down. But, like, I liked the one from Luber Team.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun. Like, I thought it was a fun way to, like, tap into the lore and stuff. And I thought it was a good game. I mean, I literally got an Xbox, played it, and took the Xbox back.
God damn it.
But I'm actually going through my emails right now and categorizing them. You inspired me, and I'm in 2019, and I found the emails in, like, order of, like, thanks for purchasing an Xbox, and it's like, here's the return order for your Xbox.
Oh, that's great.
But, like, I don't know, man. I want more Blair Witch. I don't want Blair Witch remade, and you need to go to the people who made that special.
Yeah.
And, like, Manello has said he's interested in doing it. Obviously, Ben Rock has said it. Like, all these guys, like, they're still, like, around. Like, fucking talk to them.
Yeah, my hope is that, like, they were just excited to announce that they have it, but they will, like, get in touch, right? Because this was the worry with Candyman too, right? And they did eventually get in touch. That was way too late to kind of change the flow of anything, but I do really hope that they get in touch with them, because I mean, they told us what they had originally planned and it sounded interesting, but unfortunately the studio just kind of wants to fuck around in the woods, right?
Yeah, or, like, if you want to remake something, like, I know the trailer premiered at CinemaCon for Robert Eggers' Nosferatu.
Okay.
So we'll probably be getting that soon. Like, that's a movie that needs remake. We watched it on here. We enjoyed it. But it's, like, a 1920 silent film. Like, okay. Like, it's been 100 years. Sure. What else do you got?
Yeah.
And he's proven his track record. But, like you said, when it comes to, like, Blumhouse, it's fast food horror.
Yeah. It is, like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my soapbox. Just, fuck, it's like, because, like, go back to it, like, found footage, there's still good stuff there. Like, when you showed me, in, like, Digging Up the Marrow, like, that was, I got that vibe of the Blair Witch vibe. Grave Encounters, another movie that gave me the same vibe as that. It's just, I don't know. That's my soapbox. I barely did anything this week. How about you?
I made a horrible purchase. I bought a PSVR 2. Because
what is the game for that? Or what's like the
Resident Evil Village VR and Resident Evil 4 Remake VR? Those are, like, the main things I want to try out. But there was a price error at my local Walmart. and it was more than half off.
Yeah, and then you pull the trigger, especially for what you do.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. And then sorry to the person who got fired for that, because...
Hey, at least you didn't go through the self-checkout line and scan a pack of bubblegum and buy it.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, funny enough, I actually have been playing Resident Evil Dead Aim, which is the light gun game on the PS2.
The real gun, right?
Yeah. Just for, like, work and, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what else? I've been playing a bunch of weird old shit.
I bought Revelations. It was on sale.
What'd you buy, sorry?
Revelations.
Oh, nice. I probably should have done that, but I did not.
I got it on Steam.
Okay. So, Revelations 2 as well?
No, that's still not on sale. But when it goes on sale, I will buy it.
Okay. Yeah, let me know when you get that one and when it's on sale, because that's the co-op one.
Yes,
we can play that on co-op. Honestly, I haven't really done a lot this week.
Busy week for you, too.
Yeah, it's just been busy. So, I watched Terminal Man, like, 2 hours ago.
And on that nice little note, let's review the Terminal Man.
You're doing the operation?
Oh, yes.
Well, we'll have to check your file. Make sure we have a current picture.
We'll get you anything you need. No, I'll take care of it.
So this is a 1974 American sci-fi horror film directed by Mike Hodges. He is most well known for writing and directing the Michael Caine-led film Get Carter, which is considered one of the greatest British films of all time.
Okay.
It is based on a novel of the same name by Michael Crichton. And if you want to hear us dive into him, go listen to our Jurassic Park review.
Man, I wonder if this is a...
We're going to talk about that
okay.
in a little bit.
Okay.
Right. the film stars George Segal. He was one of the biggest stars of the 60s and 70s. He started in comedic roles on films like Ship of Fools and The King Rat, both from 1965. And he also co-starred in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in 1966. I searched a lot, and I could not find a budget or box office information on this movie. Stanley Kubrick was a huge Hodges admirer, and when Mike Kaplan, who was a Warner Brothers international marketing executive, attempted to override Warner Brothers' decision to not release the film in Britain, he sought Kubrick's help. After explaining the situation and how the film required a different marketing campaign, Kubrick interrupted with, "I've already seen it, and it's terrific."
Okay.
Trivia. Crichton was fired from writing the screenplay due to the fact he was upset that his script that he gave them did not follow the novel closely enough. So he wrote a script
okay.
that was close to his novel, and they said nope, and so they made a bunch of changes, so he quit. Or he was fired, because he was mad about it.
Okay.
The film is prescient? I'm not sure what that word means. And many aspects of surgical technology that became commonplace in the years and decades after its release. The spacesuit operating helmets and gowns that would be common in orthopedic joint replacement surgeries. The intraoperative CT scans coupled with the stereoactic brain surgery. Electrode implants on and into the brain to treat epilepsy and other conditions.
Huh.
The movie was a critical and commercial failure.
Yeah, I'm... yeah. I feel bad for saying it, but I'm...
This is going to be a low one, I have a feeling.
Yeah.
The movie being shown on the TV is Angela Black's apartment is them.
Oh. Okay.
Yep, there's a highlight. This is one of the first films to ever mention the religion of Scientology. Okay. According to Warner Brothers press release, the studio paid $50,000 to the film to film at an unused operating theater using $100,000 worth of surgical instruments and medical equipment on loan production. However, a contemporary article in Daily Variety noted the operating theater was built on Stage 12 at Warner Brothers Studio in Burbank, California. So they lied. Richard Dicer and Donald Moffat, who were in this movie, would co-star in another sci-fi film, a much better one, Justin. Our number one thing on the podcast, The Thing.
Oh, shit. Okay.
That's all I got. I watched this almost a week ago. So my plot summary for this is a man who is super smart, has these bouts of violence, and so they have this ginormously long operating sequence where they put a computer in his brain, and it makes him more of a killer. And
okay,
go ahead.
They don't put a computer in his brain. They put 5 or 6 like electric diodes that will go off at random intervals.
Okay, thank you. He escapes.
Yeah.
He kills the woman who helped him escape in probably the only cool scene from this whole movie. He goes and attacks his therapist, and he falls into a grave, and he gets killed in the grave.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, wow, funny. You told that story so quick.
This is one of the films, so this was the first season where I had Justin, where I told Justin to go all out.
Yeah.
And I said I would find movies to fill it in. And then we also added Parasite Eve later on in the season, in like the planning development of this, because it fits well and we want to do it. And like, it made sense to do it here. And so I had to find some more movies to pad it out. And this was one of those movies. The plot, I think there is something interesting here. I think, especially with like Elon Musk and what he's doing with the Neuralink stuff, I think there is something interesting to be said here. This movie is neither interesting or anything. It is boring. I actually fell asleep when I first started watching it.
Yeah,
and
me
woke
too.
Up and had to restart it. It's not good. It's not entertaining. The plot is muddled. Things happen, and I don't understand why.
Well, there's another issue where, like, I mean, this will kind of also be an audio, but like, everybody's just very monotone in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's no excitement.
Yeah, there's like no, there's just nothing. This is a really hard film to watch. It's not enjoyable, and I did not like it. That's all I have to say about plot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. It was, I'm not gonna lie, after half an hour, I was like, oh fuck, did I pick the wrong movie? And then I remember
you texted me.
Yeah. And what you said in return was like, oh, don't worry, something happens about 3/4 of the way through the movie. I was like, okay, no, I'm watching the right movie. Yeah, this was just a very plain and boring watch. It's like, it sucks because it's like, I guarantee I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm not going to remember this movie.
That's me. It's been 6 days.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
I gave it a 2 because the idea of putting computers in humans' brains is something that could be talked about, but this isn't it.
Yeah, I give it a 1.
Cinematography. That one scene that happens 3/4 of the way through is when he kills his lover and stabs her on the waterbed, and the blood and the water mix, and it's like elongated and kind of cool shot. I guess the operating scene is in depth. But
like boring, like to the point where even the doctor was like, I've never done something so boring and
mm-hmm.
and stressful. And it's like, yeah, I know, we're fucking along for this 20-minute operating scene that nothing exciting happens.
This reminded me of like the movies you would watch like at 4 a.m. Not the 1 a.m. like Killer Clowns. Like, this is like the 4 a.m. like, no one's going to watch this, but you need to fill the void on TNT.
Yeah.
Like, this was trash. I also gave it a 2 because of the stabbing scene.
I gave it a 1 because, I'm not going to lie, the stabbing, though I have seen a better waterbed kill in Nightmare on Elm Street. There's no stabbing Fair. There, but, well, there is, but, you know.
Fair. Audio. God damn it. There's nothing here.
No,
the theme is nothing. The acting is boring.
I do want to give one kudos.
Okay.
And that is the guy who plays our main guy. I don't even remember his name.
George Segal.
George Segal having, like, acting out a seizure in the grave. I think he did that well. Maybe. Otherwise, it's just a very, everybody, everybody just kind of talks like this, except for sometimes they whisper when they talk like this.
Yeah, I can turn the volume up. It was miserable.
Yeah, but then they would do that, and then there'd be like a helicopter in the next shot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, fuck, I got to turn it down because I'm like blowing out my ears now. But wait, oh, I can't hear them talk over the helicopter because they're so monotone and quiet. Man, it was rough.
I am honestly just happy the library had it on DVD. I gave it a 1.
I gave it a 1, too. I had to pay $4.99 to watch this movie.
How scary.
Not.
It's not.
1.
It is 1, for sure. Like I said, I think there is something that could be said about the Neuralink thing, similarity till today. It's fucking boring.
Yeah, it's boring.
To review our scores for The Terminal Man. For plot, I gave it a 2. You gave it a 1. For cinematography, I gave it a 2. You gave it a 1. And for audio and how scary, it got 1s across the board. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 13.
Oh my god, that ties with Ginger Dead Man.
No.
Oh, Ginger Dead Man is a 14.
It is a 14. Yeah. You're right. This is now our third worst thing, and it's not a ginger selection.
Congratulations, Marcus. You
win
something, movie, I guess.
This movie fucking sucks. Yeah, that's all I got. I'm not wasting any more time on this. Stick around. We'll head on into the closing. Sorry that this is a much shorter episode, guys. Like, when there's nothing, there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it was like watching paint dry.
Yeah. So everybody is aware, we do have a couple of pre-recorded episodes. The first is going to be The House of Wax, starring Paris Hilton. The second is going to be A Separate Ways DLC. And the third was supposed to be Alan Wake, but you'll find out why when we get to that. Justin, any last thoughts? We're not doing a campfire for this. Terminal Man does not deserve it.
Okay, then no.
Guys, thanks for hanging out. And when you hear from me live next, I will be a dad. So
that's fucking wild.
So there's that. Thanks, everybody. Until next time, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.